I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. All right, Happy New Year. Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 726. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, part of the GTR crew. Happy New Year to Pete and Paris. What's up, guys?
What up?
Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, this is our first episode of 2018. How was your long vacation?
Honestly, it wasn't long enough.
Same here. You know, I took a break from gaming, man.
Took a break. It's important to do that, man. I mean, as much as everybody likes to say that, you know, we take video games as like our escape from reality, sometimes we just kind of spend too much time doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spent a week with no PC, like out on the road with my fam, you know, this past week. And it was a good time, dude. Like it was good. We had the Switch, realized the first night that it was dead. Like we hadn't powered it up. And like, since like my trip to San Francisco. So like we had to charge it and then we charged it overnight, but we never touched it. You know, it was like, you know, we were driving, we were doing, you know, like, you know, little things here and there in either St. Augustine or Tallahassee or Orlando that we were so busy. We just never had to, you know, reach out and grab the Switch. So it was a good thing. It was a good break from it. And then, you know, obviously we came back and then, you know, I streamed for 6 hours because I had to release the dragon. It was awesome.
And what about you, man? Paris?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. Like Pete said, not long enough for sure. I took a complete break from gaming. I mean, other than I've been playing some PUBG, you know, a little bit and kind of chronicling my adventures on Twitter, you know, when I would do something really dumb. I didn't play anything, not a thing, and just hung out with family and just enjoyed the time off. I mean, kind of like Pete was saying, I think it's good to do that. To get away from it all for a while. If anything, I just caught up on a lot of Netflix. That was a lot of the stuff. I just watched a lot of shows, you know, and like I said, just hung out and spent time with my family, which is a good thing. And, you know, I'll start slowly ramping back into, you know, gaming as we know it. But it was good. It was actually good to get away from that. Now, the one cool thing I did do is I'm starting to automate my house. So yesterday I got, it's called a Rachio smart sprinkler system. So I took out my old school timer sprinkler and I put in this smart sprinkler system. You control it all from the app and, you know, it talks to the cloud and all that. So eventually over time, it'll start looking at weather patterns. It'll look at the moisture in the soil and everything. And it will adjust my water schedule as it goes along, just depending on how the weather and everything goes. So it'll actually start saving me money. And I literally, right before we did this, I applied for a rebate to it. I also just bought two Nest thermometers. So nice. I'm going to install those today because they'll arrive today. So I'm going to install those and you can integrate the Rachio and the Nest, all that together. I already have the Ring, you know, camera system in the house. Right. Yeah. Well, nice. No, I actually have floodlights around the house too. So I have full coverage around the house on that. And then I'm going to get some smart, what do you call them? Smart controllers for like my light system and all that. So I'm just automating everything, man. And it's awesome.
Totally off topic from obviously video games, but I'm curious about the Rachio because I have, you know, obviously an automated sprinkler system. But, you know, how does that tap to your network? Is that a wireless and then it just
Wi-Fi.
Uses the Wi-Fi?
Oh, Wi-Fi?
Yes, okay. Wi-Fi.
So you're just basically replacing the analog twisty turny dial with the clock stuff with the Rachio inside the housing. And
Yep. And it's, and you control it all on the app, so you can do it from anywhere. You know, the whole thing monitor, it gives you alerts, all that stuff. So it's really
That's pretty cool, dude.
Very cool.
And then the other thing, because I'm stealing this from one of my good friends. I was over his house over the break. He has an automated locks on his doors.
So you don't
need the key. It's all on the app. So I was like, oh my God, I gotta get this too. It's like I've been a kid in the candy store. With all this
stuff. I bought the August about a month and a half, maybe two months ago, for the family. Because actually, right after the hurricane, all the wind and dust and dirt got lodged in the locks in the front door. So I ended up going out. It's the same deadbolt. It's just you can't put a key in it anymore.
Right.
So I ended up getting an August lock. It fits on the inside. You don't have to replace your lock. And since the keyhole from the outside doesn't work, nobody can pick it theoretically. It's an August lock. It mates with my app. I can send a code to other people to either give them temporary or permanent access. And then it uses my Bluetooth. So when I pull into the house, it just unlocks the door for me. Yeah. I don't even have to pull out my key.
That's dope.
Dude, I swear to God, I'm at my buddy's house. I spent an hour just playing with the thing. Just like, oh my God, dude, it's amazing.
So cool. It is so cool to just walk up and just like open the door. And you don't have to do anything. It's phenomenal. It's a really, really cool tool.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. And then there's also one you can swap out your garage door opener as well and make that automated too. So literally you drive up, it realizes it's you, it'll open the garage door, all that stuff. So I'm just doing that. Oh, and then the other thing, going back to the sprinkler thing. So I'm like completely redoing my sprinkler system altogether. So like I already replaced one of my valves, got to replace another one. I'm going to just retrench the whole front island in my house. I'm just doing the handy stuff. Forget the electronic video game stuff. I'm trying to make everything more efficient, you know, around the house. So it's a lot of fun, man. And it's good to get your hands dirty doing that stuff, getting my son involved. He's been real, real helpful with it too. So a lot of fun.
That's dope, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. Really cool. And it's funny, like if let's say Danny was coming over and I had to run out to the store to grab stuff, I could send him a temporary code that would give Danny access to like walk to my, like open the door and get into the house so he wouldn't have to be stuck outside. Yeah. And then, you know, that can tie into like Amazon has that app, you know, that program that allows delivery people to like open your door and drop off packages. I'm still kind of sketchy on that. I'm still not 100%.
I don't know if I trust that.
Like, it's not that I don't trust Amazon. Well, like, I mean, they have all my information anyways, and they already have my buying patterns or whatever, but it's the delivery people. Like, I can understand, you know, FedEx and Amazon, you know, they still have their stuff. But it's the whole fact of getting someone you have zero knowledge of having open access to your home, right? Like, you know, giving your information to, like, you know, Facebook and all this stuff. You have those barriers of your doors always protecting your personal family and stuff. And then giving that one person open access, it's kind of weird. It's weird that, you know, that something like that was something that they thought would be a cool idea. And I thought that was kind of a strange concept for them.
By the way, there's only like one game that I've been playing, I guess. HQ Trivia. You know about that, Pete.
Yeah.
HQ Trivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been playing that a lot with the fam. Like,
it's fun.
We all get together at 9 p.m. We tried during New Year's Eve. No, 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. Yeah. But I think it's better for all of us to play at 9 p.m. So we try to play that during New Year's Eve. And they were having issues because they were giving away, I think, like $18,000. And we walked around the block. And when we got back home, that's when they started the questions. So I'm like, oh, I missed it, man. I wanted to be part of it, man. But
yeah,
I have a couple people from my family now playing that a lot live. So it reminds me a lot of 1 versus 100,
yeah,
for the Xbox 360.
Yeah. No, it's live holes, it's a lot of fun. The startup is kind of long, and I get it because they're just trying to get more and more viewers. For the people, you know, listening or watching, you know, HQ Trivia is essentially, it's an app with live video trivia, and once the game starts, the number of people is locked in. I think there's a 7 or 10 questions or something like that.
12 questions.
And there's a set money amount every time, you know, whether it's a 3 p.m. or 9 p.m., there's a set money amount that's your winning pool. And then as you answer questions, all the people that have missed, you know, or gotten an incorrect answer that they submitted through the app get kicked out of the game. So they're no longer eligible to win. And then you can have people going up. And I mean, when me and my family did it, we did it, I think it was the 9 o'clock one. And we had like 8 people in our family sitting around the phone trying to figure out the answers. I think we got up to like question 8 or 9, but at that point it had gone from like 750,000 people to like 87,000 people. So we yeah. chopped out like 70%, 75% of the people in the trivia game. And it was really, really cool just watching the excitement build up, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, are you sure? Are you sure? You know? And it's really cool when you have like that, when you have that seed type mentality, everybody's like, you know, like you had like me with music, my wife with music and food. And then we had like, you know, my uncle or my brother-in-law and stuff like that. Like everybody has like these little things that they're smart about. So it's really cool when you can pull that knowledge group, that knowledge base together, and everybody plays off of it to answer the questions. It's really cool.
Highly recommend. And it's free. You can download it for the Android, for Android and iOS. Yeah.
Is it ready for Android? I thought
yeah,
it was Apple.
I just got
only.
It.
Okay.
It just came out. Yeah, yes, new. It came out New Year's Day.
That's why. Yeah, because it was an Apple only for a while. Yep.
Yeah.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's talk about some video games here, man. You know, I'm very excited about this because Nintendo is going to have their first Nintendo Direct on January 11th. You know, 2017 was the year for Nintendo. They had amazing games. The Switch was phenomenal. It was selling a lot. And I even made history. We're going to talk about that in a few. But yeah, their first Nintendo Direct, January 11th. And everybody's excited. Everybody think that they're probably going to have some big announcements. All that. What are your thoughts about this, man? Because the fans, they're very, very excited, man. This is going to be a very important year for Nintendo, too, man, to continue the hype about the new system.
I mean, with it being in January, I'm... And again, I'm not trying to be negative Nancy here, but I am skeptical of what type of announcements they'll make this early in the year as far as new IPs go. I don't expect any big AAA announcements. I'm probably expecting more smaller games, maybe highlight some indie type of titles early in the year, which is good. And then maybe bring up something like a remake, you know, of maybe a Wii era game. Like I even saw someone point out that they should port over the Smash Brothers version from the Wii U to the Switch again, just because not a lot of people played it, you know, versus the amount of people they have now on the Switch. So I would expect more announcements of that ilk. And then they'll hold the big bomb announcements probably closer to E3. My God, I can't even believe we're talking E3 already, but E3 would be probably when we'd see the big AAA announcements coming from Nintendo.
Yeah. I mean, I know in February, Bayonetta 1 and 2 is coming out as a package there. You could play the games. And then later, I don't know if it's this year or next year, Part 3 is going to come out too. So that's one. Virtual Console, is it possible for them to start adding that? I think it's the right time now to add that. Also add some video apps, YouTube, maybe some Twitch, Netflix, right? And I know they've been having Hulu now for a couple months. That's available there for the Switch. They got to start adding new things now because there's a lot of people now with the Switch and they would like to get these type of apps, man, to be part of the system.
Yeah, you make a great point about the virtual console. It's time. I mean, they need to lock down a window as to when this thing is going to come out. Start getting the pricing out, etc., so people can prepare and understand exactly what it's going to be. Like, to me, that's probably the thing that excites me the most going into 2018 about the Nintendo Switch is the virtual console and the back catalog of games that I can start playing on the Nintendo Switch. People on Twitter sniping at me saying, I just want new games. I'm tired of all these old ones. You know what? I want the old ones. How about that? How about let me live? Let me enjoy that. Right. But no, but seriously, I mean, I really want to see what their plan is going to be for their back catalog of games with this virtual console and how they're going to price them. Because there's just, again, from the NES all the way to where we are today, there's so many classic games they can bring back and put on the Switch through that virtual console that I know I want to play. You know, mm-hmm. which is, you know, we've obviously seen the NES Classic, the Super NES Classics. Those things are great, but you're attached to your TV to play those. I want to be able to take some of those classic games anywhere I go with the Switch. So that's what I'm looking forward to, those kind of announcements.
Now, what are the chances of us seeing games like Red Dead Redemption, Grand Theft Auto on the Switch? And I know it's going to sell a lot for Xbox and PlayStation 4, but
I don't think the new one. I don't think we're going to see the new one anytime soon.
No, but I could see Grand Theft Auto probably that has more of a chance than Red Dead. But we need these type of games. I was having a conversation with Paris about, man, bringing some classic Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 games ported to the Switch. They could easily port some great games that came out around that time too, man. And I know one of the games that you brought up, Paris, was Mass Effect. Imagine the trilogy of Mass Effect on the go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's such an easy win for EA to just port over the original Mass Effect trilogy to the Switch. Why not? Why not? I mean, the Switch obviously is more than capable of playing it because for all intents and purposes, it's a portable Xbox 360. So I don't think that would be an issue. And then, you know, the other one I brought up is BioShock. 2K just bring the BioShock trilogy, you know, over there. Man. Oh, my God. I would absolutely love to have that on the Switch. And again, I know these are old games and they're porting them over, but there is a sense of nostalgia to them that I would love to be able to have them. Again, the portability of it, to be on a plane. And you know what? I think I'm going to play BioShock Infinite and I just start playing it. Dude, come on. I would love that.
Well, one of the press releases that Nintendo just sent a couple of days ago is that Nintendo Switch becomes the fastest selling home video game system of all time in the U.S. It sold, I believe now when it launched March 3rd, and in just 10 months, it sold more than 4.8 million units here in the U.S. And it's the highest total for the first 10 months of any video game console that's been released here in the U.S., man. Your thoughts about that, man? That's freaking huge. And it's not even a powerful console.
It's the testament to, the Nintendo brand itself, because that little piece of tech goes everywhere. I mean, well, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, and I brought it. We didn't use it, but we brought it. It's fantastic. It's exactly what I didn't think it was going to be. It was something that I thought was going to be a must buy for Peter and the family. And so, you know, kudos to them. You know, they've done a phenomenal job with the tech, making everything portable, like you and Paris were saying, you know, having the potential for having a legendary AAA such as the BioShock, you know, series, a Mass Effect, a Grand Theft Auto, how Red Dead Redemption would be really, really cool. Things that normally weren't on the Nintendo Switch or on the Nintendo brand, now having the potential to be brought over for that, opens the door for the floodgate of money printing for Nintendo. That's just phenomenal. The only thing that's going to be the harbinger and determine whether that's going to succeed or not is whether that 64 gig card or higher ever gets released. I mean, apparently it's been delayed again. They need to overcome the hardware, and I don't mean hardware as in, you know, the technological part of it. I mean more the resolution and stuff like that. I mean more with, you know, being able to make it more robust to support something like this, something like a Mass Effect or whatnot.
But like I said in the beginning, man, it's all about the games, man. You have the right games. It doesn't matter what type of system it is, it's going to sell. But a lot of us, the young gamers, we're always thinking about graphics and just power and honestly, if you don't have the software, that console doesn't mean jack, man. You know, so I'm waiting for Microsoft to start announcing some big games for the Xbox One to get me more excited about the Xbox One X. Like right now, I'm excited about the Nintendo Switch. Like I see more dope ass games coming out for that system than the current PlayStation and Xbox One consoles, man. You know, so
can I say one thing?
Yeah.
And I guess this is my first sprinkle of salt for 2018. Now that we're past the holidays and we've kind of seen the sales numbers bear out and just seeing how, you know, this whole holiday console thing has worked out, the Xbox One X isn't a mistake, but what you just said bears out. It does not matter how powerful your system is. People will not pick it up unless there's compelling content to go with it. Mm-hmm. Right. And Microsoft, bottom line, Microsoft did not have compelling content this holiday. PUBG was not enough and it didn't sell. I mean, you go to Best Buy or Walmart or wherever right now, there is Xbox One X's everywhere. You know, it ain't hard to get one if you want one, which look, I know Microsoft has already said they weren't expecting the Xbox One X to outsell, you know, the One S or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I really thought it would be a lot harder to get an Xbox One X this holiday. And instead, people passed on it. And honestly, went and picked up a PlayStation 4 or Switch. I mean, that's what the sales numbers told us this holiday, because Microsoft did not have games. And, you know, I know I'm going down this rabbit hole, so I'll continue it. I look at 2018. Outside of Halo, I don't see it unless they're really sitting on some secrets, which they just don't have the studios to have said secrets. Where are the games from them? They have a lot to try and prove here in 2018 to have compelling content. I guess I'm being salty right now. Remember, I bought an Xbox One X, had it in my home, did not like the dashboard. And I said, you know what? Why am I forcing myself to have this thing? And I got rid of it. And I still don't miss having an Xbox. I don't, because there isn't that game on that console that I'm like, I need to have it. There just isn't. And I hope Halo 6 is that game. But right now, Xbox just doesn't have the games going into 2018. Sea of Thieves is probably something that intrigues me, but it's not a must have. It's just kind of a cool concept. Crackdown 3 just looks like a hot mess. So I really hope it gets delayed until they can get it right. And like I said, Halo 6, that's the only thing I can think of that's going to come in 2018 that would be compelling enough for people to want to run out and go get an Xbox One X. You know, when an indie game is your best game for an entire year, that's a problem. And that was Cuphead.
And that's an amazing game.
No, and it's a good game. The problem is still it's the PC component. Like if you had it, let's say Halo 6 gets announced at what's coming up now, GDC or PAX South or whatever.
They're not gonna announce that.
I know. This is a total what if. This total what if scenario, right? Hey, surprise! Right. It's coming out holiday 2018. Does Paris still go out and buy an Xbox One X?
No, I mean
you could buy, but you could play it on PC though.
Exactly. Even in that scenario, honestly, the thing that would get me to go get a console like Halo 6 as an example is Trey. Because if Trey wants to play Halo and we want to play it together, all right, now I need to go get an Xbox so he can play it on there. And then I would still play it on the PC and we'd play together. If it's just something for me, then yeah, I mean, I already have the most powerful system. I have my PC. I would just use the Xbox to play anywhere, which again, I don't think Microsoft cares that I don't own an Xbox. They just care that I buy their games, right?
Right.
And as it stands right now, the last AAA game that I cared to have on the Xbox was Gears of War 4. After that, it was Cuphead. And this is over a almost 2 year period. That's a problem, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. Total agree. I think here's a conversation that I've been watching a lot of YouTube lately. So there was a conversation. One of the YouTubers, he was saying that that it's possible that Microsoft right now is probably working on their, or probably they're in talks on working on their next console, because they might be afraid that Sony would announce PlayStation 5 before them in the future. What are your thoughts of that, if that's true?
100% agree. And I think I may have seen something similar where someone was saying that don't be shocked if the next Xbox comes out in 2019. That would not surprise me at all. Just go ahead and kneecap this whole Xbox One generation and move on. And basically the Xbox One X was kind of their test bed for technology wise on how they can integrate 4K and all that kind of stuff. The prices come down a little more, and then they just go full on into the next gen with an even more powerful system than Xbox One X 2 years from now. I totally could see that. Would not shock me. I mean, if we look at Microsoft's track record going from original Xbox to 360, that was a shortened window. I mean, obviously the 360 had a super long window because they were the leader, but Microsoft has shown when they ain't leading and they need to get an advantage, they will kill their system early. And then look, they can easily still say, hey, all your Xbox One games are still backwards compatible to the new one, but we're moving on to the next generation of games, 4K, 60 frames per second, every game. You know, they can do that whole marketing thing. Here's our new lineup from all our new studios. We just acquired Bluehole and PUBG's. They can do all that 2 years from now. You know what I mean? I totally can see that, because I think PlayStation 5 is 2020. It just makes sense for them with what they've done.
And you said it. The problem is still hardware. Not hardware. The problem is still game catalog. Game catalog is great, you know, from a third-party perspective. You know, you've got a lot of older generation IPs that, you know, did well for them back in the 360 and early Xbox One days, but you still don't have those must buys that force the consumer to go out and, or, you know, whether go out to the brick and mortar stores like Best Buy or whatever, or run out into Amazon or run online and create that shortage of hardware. I mean, like you said, any of us could walk into a Best Buy and go buy an Xbox One right now, you know, whether it's a One S or a One X. You couldn't do that for like the first year of Sony PlayStation. You literally couldn't find them on the shelves at all. Unless you were lucky. So, and we all thought that, you know, Bluehole and PUBG, you know, was going to be the saving grace for them. I don't know if it is anymore.
No, it's sold a lot though. It's not, but it's sold a lot for those that already have the console. They sold a lot, but new users, have they been selling a lot of units because of PUBG, like a lot of consoles?
Well, they're giving it away now. They're literally giving it away. Buy an Xbox One X, you get PUBG for free.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Now,
but going back to what Pete said, the whole thought on that is, because Phil Spencer already came out late last year and admitted, you know, they're about to go on a spending spree for studios. They're going to start making acquisitions because they know they need to build up their internal portfolio.
Yep.
2019 would probably be the earliest time that whatever studios they start acquiring now could have content ready to go, right? And like I said, if I think we're all in agreement here, probably the earliest we see a PlayStation 5 is 2020. It really comes down to, does Microsoft want to go head-to-head with a PlayStation 5 in 2020 as far as the next console generation? Or do they want to do what they did last time and get a year head start with the 360 compared to the PlayStation 3, you know, for their next console? Mm-hmm. That would be it. But like Pete's saying, none of that matters if you don't have games to play on it. So they got to have some heavy hitting AAA titles ready to go on launch to make it like, oh my God, I got to go to a new Xbox because I got to go play this. You know, they need to have people having that conversation versus, well, they got a new Xbox, it's super powerful, but there's really nothing to play on it. I guess I could wait. You know, you don't want that conversation to be had anymore. So, I mean, we'll see.
Now, two things. One is, I agree with you, Paris, but I'm kind of afraid if this happens, remember, guys, this is totally totally rumor, just a conversation.
Wrong.
But imagine
fake news.
But imagine they do rush it and they announce, hey, brand new console, first than the PlayStation 5, right? Then what happens? We're probably gonna have the same issues like the Xbox 360. It came out because they rushed it. And what was the issues that everybody was having? The rendering of death. Everybody was having that, you know, because they were rushing it to be first, right? Now, here's another thing too that I was thinking right now while we were having this conversation is that, is it possible the reason why Microsoft hasn't been showing or announcing these games is because maybe they're saving it for their next console instead? Do you think that's even possible?
It makes sense.
Bring it to the argument of 2019, because
it coincides with the launch.
Yeah, we're stockpiling up, you know, heavy hitting titles ready to go with our next console generation versus trying to put them out now when the race has been lost now. I mean, PlayStation is dominating. That's not changing. And, you know, we see what they have coming in the next couple of years for their exclusive lineups. And these are a lot of compelling games. I know I want to play a lot of them, right? Mm-hmm. Versus what we know is coming from Microsoft. So there could be a scenario where they're holding back on games and they're all right, 2019, we're just going to have this big explosion of titles. And now we have the year heads up with the next console generation, blah, blah, blah. You know, look, I'm a stunning genius. So this is why I think I'm just kidding. But it would make sense. I could totally see a scenario where that happens.
Oh my God. That is so funny, man. Too funny. All right, let's go with the next question here. By the way, interesting tweet I just read a couple days ago from an ex-Lionhead developer saying that Microsoft made an interesting choice for Fable 4, that they have a new studio working on Fable 4. He don't want to say which company it is, which ones are working on it, but it's very interesting for him to say that. You could check it on Twitter. He wrote like this, okay, having no inside information, I totally know who's building Fable 4 now. Interesting choice. ... Your thoughts? Any predictions? Who do you think it might be?
Well, according to the research and the article, it's saying that Studio Gobo's Electric Square is working on a game for Microsoft Studios, and they happen to be based in Brighton, which is where Lionhead used to be, I believe. That's probably the only one that would make sense, but who knows at this point? We could be wrong, and I see Miss Leo, you know, popping up her finger, so I think we might have a little Miss Leo prediction coming up. The first Miss Leo prediction of 2018. Here we go.
Here goes.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
No, I'm just going by. I'm trying to do detective work and put the pieces together. Remember, Playground Games announced a year and a half ago they're working on an RPG. They make Forza Horizon. Mm-hmm. Why can't that just be Fable 4?
That's a very interesting choice.
And they've hired people.
Yeah.
They've hired the veterans that have worked on, you know, Metal Gear Solid, GTA 5, Hellblade, which potentially could make that opportunity happen. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Fable could potentially be that horse for Microsoft to power in it. But is it really, though?
No, but I was just going to say, no, actually it is. And that's the thing. It's, to me, the Fable IP not coming out this generation was such a lost opportunity for them. I mean, there's so many things they could do with Fable that could be intriguing enough. Look, could you imagine, go down this rabbit hole with me, could you imagine if they redid Fable into a truly open world game? It doesn't necessarily be the size of The Witcher 3 or Skyrim, but in that vein of game where you basically go in, do whatever the hell you want, and you're literally just in that world interacting with all the characters and, you know, creating your own adventure. that potential is there with Fable. They have enough back catalog and enough history with that IP that they could create that kind of game. So, dude, that would be huge. And now that's exclusive to Micro, to Xbox. You can only play that kind of basically a Witcher level game that's only on Xbox. Oh, dude, I'd totally be in for something like that.
I love Fable, right? But at the same time, I feel like Peter Molyneux at that time was hyping it up so much that when I played the game, I was kind of disappointed because I got hype, you know, and then I started playing and I'm like, it's okay. It's not the greatest game of all time, but it's good. It's good. It's decent. You know, so I'm wondering why to you, Paris, why do you think to you that game is a very important IP? Because even you probably felt the same way playing that game.
Because of exactly what you just said, finally realizing the potential of everything that Peter Molyneux was thinking 10 years ago or 15 years ago when Fable first came out, right? This could be the realization of that. Everything that he had floating around in his brain on what he wanted to do. And again, he's not going to be attached to it. I'm not saying Peter Molyneux is doing this.
Right.
But all his original concepts, technology simply was not there to be able to pull it off. It's here now. You could do that. So you take all those original ideas and you actually bring them to fruition. That's what excites me, you know, and we've seen examples of his vision now with, like I said, with games like Skyrim, with a game like Assassin's Creed Origins, as an example, you know, obviously Witcher 3. So it can happen. And now you set that in the world of Fable and do it. I'm in. I'd buy that game. I'd play it for sure.
I know you had a conversation with Peter Molyneux years ago during E3.
Yeah, it's none of your business.
The Santa Monica. Oh, God. Here it goes. See, guys, Paris beat me.
Bully.
In 2018. Bully, fake news. No, but honestly, Paris, I was there, but I think I was doing something else. And I know it was a group of you guys having a conversation with Peter Molyneux. He showed you guys the game. Was it Fable?
It was Fable 2. Yeah, it was Fable 2.
Fable 2. So he loves, let me tell you, like when you sit down and talk to Peter Molyneux, he like truly loves Fable. He talked to you about like why he loves it, the things that you can do in the game and everything. So in your experience, being part of that conversation with him, how was the vibe and were you excited to play that game?
Oh, 100%. 100%. He's the ultimate salesman. He is truly P.T. Barnum. Right. He could sell you on anything. All you want to do is just sit down in his cellar and just have him feed you cookies and tell you stories all day, because his idea. That's what I'm saying. His ideas and concepts on games are exactly what I want. They will excite you. He just was unable to ever truly pull any of them off. But like even what he was talking about back then with Fable 2, with co-op and all that, these are things we can do now. And that's what I'm saying. Go do them. Make Fable 4 and actually do those concepts now, because we have the technology to be able to pull it off. So, yeah, again, I'd be all for it.
And by the way, he also mentioned the ending to Paris before it came out.
Yeah.
That was so funny. So funny. Any other topics?
God, I mean, you know, like I said, it's early 2018. We really have to see how gaming's gonna shake out in this year as far as what surprise IPs are gonna come out. I mean, you know, we obviously have an early idea of certain games that are coming, but what are gonna be those big holiday games? I mean, besides the standard Call of Duties and things like that. I don't know. I'm very curious, going back to Nintendo, what is going to be Nintendo's big game for 2018? What are they sitting on? Is it Metroid? Is it Donkey Kong? I mean, because, dude, we've not heard nothing about a Donkey Kong, man. I'm really curious for that to come back. And in what form is it going to come back in? Are they going to continue with Donkey Kong Country style? Or are they going to go for something completely new? You know, things like that. That's what I want to see. And then, you know, obviously, like we were talking before, the virtual console stuff, I want to see how all that shakes out too.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Metroid is coming out this year. Pokemon, I heard they're working on that. That's going to come out this year. They have Mega Man. Mega Man. Oh, that's a, oh my God. That's another thing I want to talk about.
Oh, hey.
Mega Man. Oh, Mega Man.
Oh my the God. Mega Man I cannot wait for that. To me, that is just tailor-made for the Switch. Cannot wait to play that on the Switch.
So the announcement is it's Mega Man 1 through what?
10.
As a collection? 10. So Mega Man 11 is coming out.
Yeah, 11's coming they out. Just brand new IP. Oh, and all the Mega Man X's, the X's are two, are coming too. Yeah.
Now, were you guys a fan of Mega Man X? I'm more of the original Mega Man.
Yep, I could never get into X. Yeah, I like the old school original.
All right, so for those that don't know, I started with Mega Man 2, and then I went to 1, and then I got to play 3 and so on. But 2, to me, was a very difficult game, man, back then. I'm very, very excited to play this again. But your thoughts about this announcement, man, because, yo, it's a brand new Mega Man coming out too, man. Mega Man 11. It's not no Mega Man X. The original Mega Man coming back.
Yeah, we'll finally get 3D characters for once.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's pretty much all we've really heard. I don't know if there's been any additional information or news on that. So, I mean, it's a legendary title and IP for Nintendo. So it's just... we'll see. It's allegedly scheduled for end of year 2018. So we've got, you know, we've got a whole year of speculation and hopes and dreams, and we'll see if it comes out in 2018.
Yeah, and it's coming out for all systems. That's a good thing.
Is it?
Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and
PC.
PlayStation and PC, of course. Now, my question to you guys, which one you will buy? Which version?
I'll probably get on the Switch.
Switch.
Play it mobile. In the car, on the airplane.
New Paris?
Yeah, same. I would just get on the Switch for the very same reason.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I think I might do the same thing. See, now we have to think before we buy a game now. Should I buy the Switch? Should I buy the Xbox, or PlayStation, or PC? But we're going to wrap it up here. Have you guys been playing Division here and there since the update? I know you...
Yeah,
you said you wanted to start.
Yeah, I want to play it tonight. Hopefully, jump on Twitch and stream some of the Division. Jumping in for the first time after having not played it in about a year, because I mean I played it for about a good 4 or 5 months consistently on the Xbox One. But aside from like when on free weekends and stuff like that, I haven't really put in a lot of time since maybe a year ago. When I was really deep into the Division. So yeah, it's about that time. I think, it's, we've talked about doing the one, the 1.8 update. It's been nothing but good news over the last 6 to 8 months about that title. Everybody really likes the direction that the title has gone. And I think it'd be interesting to see, from my perspective, having played it on Xbox, having put in a crap load of hours over there, and then transitioning over here, having Paris discover it essentially for the first time, and seeing those two viewpoints juxtaposed on the stream, and being able to talk about it as we're playing it, because Paris had his reservations about the title in general early on, warranted as they may be. I was kind of blind to it because I just loved the gameplay and the concept of the title, and I just fell out of the game, whether it be from, probably Destiny or other games such as PUBG that just forced me to stop playing it. But now that there's a lot more content in there, again, playing it on PC, so getting to see it in 2K, et cetera, I think it'd be fun. I think it's a quality title that deserves attention, and I want to play it.
Yeah.
So
this is our first episode of 2018. We're definitely gonna have a lot more. We're gonna have a live show this Wednesday, so make sure to tune in. Also, I want to mention this very quick because I've been working this for a while now. I'm working on a documentary about GTR, and I have to make some changes and stuff now because I've been watching it like almost every day, and I'm also inviting Yami from Twifinet. She's gonna come over to my house and she's gonna watch it. She's gonna give me some advice, some feedback and stuff. So, but I like what we have. It's a lot of like unreleased material from the messengers, but we have so much content, so much footage that we could release like our own documentary about it. So very, very excited about that. I'm planning, this is the goal. So once it's officially done, my goal is to stream it live on Twitch first, and then it will come out on YouTube for those that want to check it out. But I want to have like an event February 25th, the day of our 30th anniversary of GTR. That's the day that I really want to do this live on Twitch, maybe at night. I have to think about it, like the time and everything. But I definitely want to do that. First, I have to show it to P in Paris once it's officially done to see what they think. But it's really, really cool. Really, and I'm very, very excited to finally release this, man. You know, so I'm definitely gonna make a lot of changes this week. A lot of changes. So and that's about it. So head over to gamertagradio.com. Make sure to find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe, post a review, spread the word, tell people about GTR. And thank you for also watching this live on Twitch. It's going to be an exciting year for us, man. 2018 is going to be a very, very exciting year. All right, so we're out. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.